Well, it is good to be with you this morning. We are continuing our series together in which we are looking at keeping in step with the Spirit. We have been studying for the past couple months, really, looking at what is meant by the Holy Spirit that we read about in the Bible, and how is the Holy Spirit active in our lives today? And so we've been doing that together for some time, and now we are in what we are calling the last leg of this series together, in which we are looking at this passage in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 25, where right in the midst of it, verses 22 and 23, we have what we have come to know as the fruit of the Spirit. Jacob, are you making motions to me? Okay, I thought you were telling me to move. Okay. We're having some technical difficulties. We've got a new mic, and so we're trying to make sure that's all in place, but I think we're good now. So, anyway, we're looking at this idea of the fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23. So if you want to go ahead and open up your Bibles to Galatians 5. Galatians 5 is where we are going to spend a fair amount of our time this morning. And in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, we have what has come to be known as the fruit of the Spirit. And I want you to notice, let's look at this again, that the word fruit is a singular word. We have nine characteristics here, and these are nine characteristics of the same fruit. These are not multiple fruits that we can pick and choose from, but rather these are all characteristics of the one fruit of the Spirit. And we need to be looking at how these characteristics are evident of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And so we're looking at this together, but we are looking very specifically not just at what it means to be the fruit of the Spirit, to have the fruit of the Spirit, but what it means for us to do what it says in verse 16 and ends with in verse 25, and look at this together. But I say, walk by the Spirit. This is what we're looking at, what it means to walk by the Spirit, what it means to live by the Spirit, what it means to be led by the Spirit, and what it means to be keeping in step with the Spirit. So Galatians 5, 16, and then also verses 22 through 25 says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And then Paul says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. So we are looking at what it means to keep in step with the Spirit, and the evidence in our life of whether or not we are keeping in step with the Spirit, whether or not we are walking by the Spirit, is whether or not the fruit of the Spirit is evident in our life. And so last week we looked at this characteristic of love, which is the first characteristic listed there. This week we are looking at this idea of joy, and what true biblical joy that we have been singing about for so much time together here this morning, what true biblical joy looks like. So we're going to spend our time looking at joy this morning. Before we do that, let's pray. Holy Father, we thank you for this time of worship together this morning. We thank you for the joy that is found in this room in your people, Father. We thank you that as we come together as Christians, as individual Christians, we have your Spirit living within us, and as we come together, we create the body of Christ, or we live out the body of Christ that is created in us, and as your Spirit lives in us. And so, Father, as we as individuals and as we as a church strive to look more like you and be more like you, help us to walk in step with your Spirit, so that when people see us, they can see this fruit evident in our life. And when they see joy in our lives, they will see you. When they see this fruit in our lives, they will be looking at your face. So, Father, help us to be a good representation of you in this world so that more people can come to know you and enjoy the hope and the love and the grace that we now enjoy. We love you so much, Father, and it's through your Son's name we pray. Amen. July 4th, 1776, this document was penned. We hold these truths, this Declaration of Independence, and it says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. When our forefathers came to this country, they declared this, that we as human beings have the right, we have the God-given right to pursue happiness. We have the right to be happy. And the question that I want us to ask is this, yes, you, our forefathers wanted us to be happy, but let me ask you this, does God want us to be happy? Does God want us to be happy? You know, I think this, we find the answer to this as we look in Scripture, and the Scripture tells us in Psalm 144 and verse 15, happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Psalm 146 and verse 5 says, happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose help is the Lord their God. Proverbs 16 and verse 20, those who are attentive to a matter will prosper, and happy are those who trust in the Lord. Philippians 4 and verse 4, Paul wrote, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And he wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16, he told us to rejoice always. I believe that not only did our forefathers give us the right and tell us that we had the right to be happy, I believe that God also would like for us to be happy. But here's the problem. I think sometimes in our pursuit of happiness, we pursue happiness in all the wrong places. And when we pursue happiness in all of the wrong places, it gets to the point where we start to chase after the end and not the means. We want the salary, but not the job. We want the weight loss, but not the diet and the exercise. We know what that means, to pursue the ends and not want the means. And sometimes I think we want happiness, but we don't always necessarily want everything that comes with it. And we find ourselves at times let down by the things that we pursue. What are those things? What do we pursue that lets us down? What are the things that we pursue for happiness that let us down at times? You see, in Galatians chapter 5, before we get to this passage about the fruit of the Spirit in 22 and 23, Paul wrote this about the works of the flesh. And he says, the works of the flesh are evident. There's sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. And he said, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And what I notice about these things in this list, the works of the flesh that are evident when we are pursuing the flesh, is that many of these things are the result of the things that we pursue for happiness. What are the things that we as human beings pursue in order to find happiness? Is it not money? Is it not career? We pursue things like success. We pursue relationships. We pursue sex. We pursue a status in life. We pursue our possessions, our cars, our houses, and everything else. The things that we pursue in order to find happiness oftentimes are earthly, and they're material, and ultimately they're temporary. And I think oftentimes in our pursuit of happiness, we find that we are always pursuing and never attaining. You see, in the book of Ecclesiastes, we assume the writer to be Solomon. Solomon was this great and rich and wise king, and he seemed to have everything that the world could possibly want. He seemed to have everything that anybody could ever want in order to find happiness. And he wrote this in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. He said, I searched with my heart how to cheer my body with wine, my heart still guiding me with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the children of man to do under heaven during the few days of their life. I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools from which to water the forest of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had slaves who were born in my house. I had also great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any who had been before me in Jerusalem. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and provinces. I got singers, both men and women and many concubines, the delight of the sons of man. He said, so I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me, and whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from absolutely no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil. And this was my reward for all my toil. He said, I did everything that you could possibly imagine to gain all the happiness in the world. And he said, this was my reward for all my toil. I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it. And behold, all was vanity and striving after wind. And there was nothing to be gained under the sun. You see, what Solomon wrote about here was about how he spent his entire life pursuing happiness. And he kept absolutely nothing from himself in order to have that happiness. And when it all came down to the end, he found that he was still pursuing it. He never could get a grasp on it. It was all vanity. He says it was striving after the wind. What are the things that we go after in order to find happiness? What are the things that we pursue in order to find happiness? Do we not oftentimes find ourselves just grasping for air, striving after the wind? We get this thing that we think is going to bring happiness to our life, and it brings happiness for about a day. And then we wake up the next day, and what do we oftentimes find? Life's not as happy as we thought it would be. Life's not as great as we thought it would be. And we find ourselves continuing on the pursuit and never quite attaining that. When we pursue happiness in life, what we find is that happiness remains just beyond our grip. Sometimes we might get our fingertips on it. Sometimes we might touch it and experience it for just a moment. But yet happiness never seems to be able to get within our grasp, to where we might be able to hold on to it, to where we might be able to keep it. And I wonder, why is it that happiness is just so hard to find and even harder to keep? Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines happiness in this way. It's feeling pleasure and enjoyment because of your life or situation, etc. It's a feeling of pleasure because of what you're enjoying in your life, because of the situation that you're in. It comes from this old English word, happenstance, that means something that happens because of a circumstance. It's something that we are experiencing because of the circumstances of our life. It's the enjoyment that we find because of the situation that we're in our life. But let me ask you this. What happens if your life stinks? What happens if what you're experiencing in life isn't any good? Suddenly what we find is that happiness eludes us. And we understand what that means. We understand what it means. It's almost like we are trapped and enslaved to our situation in life. We're enslaved to our circumstances. And we understand that because people will ask us at times, how are you doing? And we say, yeah, I'm doing all right under the circumstances. Things are going pretty well for me considering the circumstances. Yeah, we say that at times, don't we? We say that basically our ability to find enjoyment, our ability to find happiness in life is totally dependent upon our circumstances that we find ourselves in life. And what we find is that we become enslaved to our circumstances. And we let those circumstances decide our happiness. But here's the problem with that. When our circumstances aren't what we want them to be, when the situation that we find ourselves in life isn't the situation that we want to be in, suddenly we find we're not happy. We're not where we want to be. The Declaration of Independence. told us that we are endowed by our Creator with certain rights. And among those rights is we have the right to pursue happiness. We have the right to go after happiness. And if we do, what we end up finding is that ultimately that happiness just keeps slipping away. I want to suggest something to you this morning. I want to suggest that even though our forefathers said that we have the right to pursue happiness, I want to challenge you not to pursue that right. I want to challenge you not to exercise that right. We have the right to pursue happiness, but should we? Is happiness really what we need to go after? And if we're not going to pursue happiness, then here's the question. What do we do? What do we do so that somehow we might be able to find some enjoyment and some contentment and some happiness in this life? Because God has told us that he likes for us to be happy. God has created us in order that we might feel emotions of happiness. God wants us to be happy. So what do we do? And here's what I want to suggest to you. Paul said, but I say walk by the Spirit. He said the fruit of the Spirit is joy. And he said if we live by the Spirit, then let us also keep in step with the Spirit. You see, if we pursue happiness, then ultimately we are pursuing the wrong thing. If we pursue joy, then ultimately we're pursuing the wrong thing because those things are going to be outside of our grasp. Those are not really, there's nothing there that we can wrap our hands around, that we can take hold of and say, this is ours and we're going to keep this and this is going to be with us all the time. And so because of this, we can rejoice. We can't pursue happiness. We can't pursue joy because we can't get a hold of it. But even though we can't get a hold of happiness and even though we can't get a hold of joy, the Spirit of God can get a hold of us. And the Spirit of God can live within us. And the Spirit of God can cause us to walk in step with the things of God, to go where the Spirit leads us. And what Paul tells us is that if we will just walk by the Spirit, if we will spend our lives rather than pursuing the things of this world, but rather pursuing life that is in step with the Spirit, life that is living with the Spirit, if we spend our life pursuing God, then we won't have a choice. We won't have a choice whether or not we're going to be happy. Because when you walk by the Spirit, then the nature of the Spirit is automatically produced. You can't hold it back. If you're walking in step with the Spirit, then the fruit of the Spirit will be evident in your life. And if the fruit of the Spirit is evident in our lives, then we will find joy. We will find that we will be joyful people. And when we find that we are walking in step with the Spirit, then the Spirit will produce joy in our life no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in. Whether life is good or life is bad, we're walking in step with the Spirit. Whether life is everything we ever hoped it would be, or life has just thrown everything on top of us to absolutely pull us down and life just stinks, we're going to walk in step with the Spirit. And if we walk in step with the Spirit, then no matter what the circumstances, the Spirit is going to produce joy in our lives. And when we keep in step with the Spirit, we'll find passages like these easier to live by. When Paul said, rejoice always, and we wonder, how do we rejoice when life stinks? And the answer is we walk in step with the Spirit. And the Spirit says, life circumstances have no control over me. I walk by the power of God. And God's power living in me brings joy. And because of that, no matter what the circumstances, I'm going to rejoice. We can learn and live by what James wrote when he said, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. We can have joy even when the trials of life come down on us and life just stinks. We can rejoice insofar as we share in the sufferings of Christ, that we may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed, because we're walking in step with the Spirit. We can suffer the things that Christ suffered and still find the joy that Christ enjoyed. Romans 12 and verse 12, Paul wrote, "Rejoice in hope and be patient in tribulation and be constant in prayer." You see, when we walk in step with the Spirit, we realize that we have hope. We have something that's bigger than this world. We have something that you know, when the world is absolutely against us, our hope is not in the world. Our hope is in the one who holds the whole world in his hands. And the one who holds the whole world in his hands has said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." And the one who holds the whole world in his hands sent his Son to come to this earth and to die on that cross and to raise from the grave and go home to be with the Father so that we can live with them in eternity. But when he left, he said, "I'm going to send you the Helper. I'm going to send you the Advocate. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit." And so the one who holds this whole world that sometimes just stinks, the one who holds the whole world in his hands, has taken his Spirit and put it in within each and every one of us. And when that Spirit is within us, and when we walk by the leading of that Spirit, then even when the circumstances of life seem to have us underneath of it, we can rejoice in our hope, and we can be patient in the tribulations, and we can be constant in prayer. And ultimately, we can rejoice in the Lord always. And Paul said, I'm going to say it again, rejoice. You see, the New Testament writers made it so clear to us that it's our responsibility as the image bearers of Christ, as the temple of the Holy Spirit, to be people of joy. But even though we are to be people of joy, nobody ever said, we're going to take you out of the world so the circumstances can't get you down anymore. And life can't stink anymore. And then you'll have every reason in the world to be happy. You'll have every reason in the world to find joy. You'll have every reason in the world to rejoice. Sometimes we have absolutely no reason in this world to rejoice. But our reason to rejoice is actually outside of this world. Our reason to rejoice is actually beyond this world. And at the same time, our reason to rejoice also lives within each one of us and causes us to walk by His Spirit. And when we walk by the Spirit, we don't get happiness. Rather, when we walk by the Spirit, we get just absolute, pure, unshakable, complete joy. When we walk by the Spirit, the fruit of that Spirit lives and breathes and comes through us to where we become people who rejoice no matter what this world throws at us. Joy comes from the Spirit. Joy that the Spirit produces is bigger than our circumstances. And actually, what we find out is that joy becomes the very thing that helps us to fight our circumstances. Joy is not something that we get because of what's going on around us, but rather joy is what we get because of what's going on inside of us to fight the things that are around us. And so Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10 tells us this: the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Spirit of Christ within us is the strength that we now hold within us. Not to be people who live under our circumstances, but people who look at our circumstances and say, you know what, it doesn't matter. Because these are things of this world, and I don't live for this world. I don't live for the happiness that this world tells me that I should have. I live for the joy of the Lord that has overcome this world. And so let me encourage you not to exercise the right to pursue happiness, but exercise the responsibility to to walk in step with the Spirit, so that the Spirit can produce joy in your life, joy that becomes your strength to overcome everything else in this life. And if we look at ourselves, we find that we're having a hard time finding joy. We're having a hard time being the joyful people that God calls us to be. We're having a hard time rejoicing when we know that God tells us to rejoice. Then it doesn't mean that we're not joyful people. What it indicates to us is that somewhere along the way, I've gotten out of step with the Spirit. And I need to get back in step. I need to begin to walk in the Spirit, walk with the Spirit more and more. And when I keep in step with the Spirit, I've got every reason to rejoice. Over and over and over again. Because I've been given the strength of God to overcome the world. That's joy. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And when we get back in step with the Spirit, here's what we'll find. When we get back in step with the Spirit, then I believe that the sons and daughters of the King of Glory will arise and shine as we declare, "This is the day that the Lord has made, and no matter what comes my way today, no matter what this world throws at me, I'm going to rejoice. And I'm going to be glad in it, because this day can't throw anything at me that the Spirit of the living God living within me can't overcome. I've got joy, and that joy is going to overcome this world. That joy is going to be my strength to live through this world and one day come out on the other side finding the result of my hope as I live in glory with the Father." And so I'm going to ask you to stand with me. Go ahead and stand. We're going to have our invitation here in just a second. I'm going to ask you to respond to this invitation if you need me. If you need prayers, if you need to put your life in Christ and let the Spirit of Christ live in you, then we give that opportunity now to put Christ on in baptism. But whatever your need, we ask that you come now as together we, the sons and daughters of the King of Glory, will arise and will shine. And we'll declare that this is the day that the Lord has made.